We're going to continue today in studying from 1 Peter, and it's a letter that was written by the Apostle Peter. It was actually dictated by the Apostle Peter while he was in prison in Maritime prison in Rome, which you can visit today. It was 600 years old when he and Paul were in that prison. And so it was an old prison then. Now you can go visit there. It's a tourist stop in Rome now. But they were there, and he was in the prison, dictated this letter to a group of believers who had left their homes and scattered into the regions of what today we call Turkey. And life was very hard, a lot of persecution, a lot of hardship on them, family, loss of income, all those kinds of things. And he wrote the letter to try and encourage these disciples to stay true to Jesus. Don't turn back, don't go back to your old, you know, whether it was paganism or don't go back to Judaism, but stay true to Jesus. Keep your hands and your heart and your spirit right upon Jesus. And so that's the encouragement the Apostle Peter's trying to give. We are actually in chapter 2, the first three verses today, if we get through them. And so that's what we're doing. And let's all stand. I know you had just sat down, but let's all stand again. Giving you your daily exercise here. And let's read this out loud together. So get rid of all evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Father, speak to our hearts today. Help me to rush through this and get accomplished what you want to accomplish today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And I'm going to go fast today, so hopefully you can go with me. You know, in the New Living Translation, the verse starts, so. New American Standard Translation, it says, therefore. Some other translations, it says, because. Because of, or because, therefore, because of these things that were previous. Here were the things we've looked at over the last few weeks. He says, you've come to trust in God. You've placed your faith and hope in God. You were cleansed and continue to be cleansed from your sins. And you have been born again to a life that will last forever. Therefore, get rid of. He says, get rid of these things. And the idea in the, that's used in the by the Apostle Peter is similar to what's used in by the Apostle Paul and other New Testament writers. And it's the terminology that has to do with changing your clothes. So when he says get rid of, he's actually, it's terminology that has to do with take off your old clothes and get rid of them. Throw them away. Don't pass them on to the secondhand store or someone else. Just get rid of them. And so Paul and here's some others says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about you've taken off, now put on. Now is the time to get rid of. Colossians says you've stripped off, you've put and put on. Ephesians says throw off. And Ephesians, another verse says put on new self and clothe yourself with Christ. Strip off, Hebrews 12 says. James says get rid of all filth and it's an evil. Again, it's all this picture. It's an illustration of what repentance looks like. You know, sometimes I use the illustration of repentance as I'm going in this direction and I turn, I'm going away from God. My heart is focused on what I want. It's focused on, you know, my selfish desires. And then I turn 180 degrees and now I go the opposite direction and I head towards God. That's the one of the pictures of repentance. Well, one of the other pictures of scriptures used of repentance is take off layer by layer the old clothes of the old way of life and replace them with new clothes. So the same kind of idea. I'm heading this way wearing my old clothes. Now I turn this way. Well, I can't go this direction wearing the old clothes. I got to get rid of the old clothes, put on my new clothes so I can go in the direction God wants me to go. And that's the picture that he's using here. And so he says, take off all those old clothes and put on new. So, you know, and I wrote down a number of different things. So it's time to change your wardrobe. Or you've been wearing the wardrobe of sin, selfishness, and corruption. Now it's time to take those clothes off and put on new clothes. Your old dirty clothes of evil behavior, deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all kinds of unkind speech are not the clothes you're going to wear now. That might be how you used to dress. That might be how all your friends and maybe your family members and maybe the people you have interaction with, that may be the way they dress, but that's not the way a follower of Jesus dresses. You know, last year when I was teaching in Uganda, I was talking about some different, you know, ideas like this, but different. And I said to him multiple times, I said, you know what? That might be the Ugandan way, but it's not the Jesus way. Because sometimes what we do is we adopt the American way instead of the Jesus way. We're called to do it the Jesus way. So sometimes we got to take off the clothes that are the normal clothes everybody wears and put on the clothes that are Jesus clothes. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And so change your wardrobe. Change the things you're wearing one layer at a time. And he uses three ideas that he uses all on. So he talks about take off all evil behavior, take off all deceit, and take off all unkind speech. So he uses the word all on all three of those. Now I want you to think about that word all and think about this is like the major clothes you wear. Like this is your shirt, this is your, you know, your jacket, this is the coat, this is the sweatshirt, whatever it happens to be. It's the major part of your clothing. And he says, take that off, and then take that off, and take that off. And he uses the word, he says, take off or get rid of, strip off all evil behavior. Your translation, if you're depending on the translation you have, it might use the word malice. That's the word it might use, is the word malice. We don't use that word very often in our culture. And the idea of malice. Malice means, it has the idea of a desire to harm someone else. That's what it's talking about. The evil, when he's talking about all evil behavior, it's this broad thing with a desire, and not just, you know, it's not like putting in their sexual immorality and all, what all those other things might be. It's this hard attitude that I want someone else to be harmed. That I want someone else to pay. I want someone else to hurt. It could be offensive because I just want to hurt someone. Sometimes people are in that condition where they're just like, they just want to hurt someone for whatever weird reason. They just want, and you could start stockpiling all the reasons behind it, but they just, like, they're just going to do harm to someone. Sometimes it's a defensive mechanism because someone has harmed me, so I'm going to harm them. I'm going to make them pay because of what they did to me. It's the same idea in both things. If love, if you think about it this way, if love is wanting the best for the other person, malice is wanting something harmful for the other person. I mean, that's how we describe love. We say love is wanting the best for the other person. You desire the best. Malice is, I want them to pay. I want them to suffer. They deserve this. You know, it's all that kind of terminology. And that happens in families. It happens in work settings. It happens in neighborhoods. I'll show them. You know, I mean, it's just all those kinds of things. He says, take that coat off. That is not a coat that Jesus followers can wear. Jesus followers wear the coat of love, which says, I want the best for that other person, not somehow I want harm to that other person. Y'all with me? That's the first one. And then he says, and take off all deceit. And the idea behind deceit is not just lying, not telling the truth. Deceit is when you manipulate someone. It's when you purposely deceive someone to accomplish something you want to be accomplished. It's actually, the word deceit is actually a fishing word. It's the word that's used of bait, where you just take that bait and you dangle it in front of a fish in hopes that the fish will think, that's real food. And then they bite on it, and then they're caught. That's the term that's actually used there, of deceit. It's a fishing word. So he says, you know what? That may be the way the clothes the world wears, where we'll just manipulate people, we'll deceive people, we'll tell them, oh yeah, it's a great this or it's a great that. I mean, that's what Proverbs says. The guy who says to him, oh, you know, it's like, no, I mean, it's really not that good. I'll use a vehicle. It's really, you know, it's got some problems, you know, but it's really a good vehicle. And then they sell the vehicle, and then they walk away going, got them. That's part of the idea behind here. It's just the deception and manipulating people. So he says, take that coat off. Because that coat, the coat of deceit, is not a coat that Jesus' followers can wear. It is not a coat that Jesus' followers can wear. So take it off. And then he uses some words, some other words here that are not all words. You know, he's using that word all. These might be like, okay, so that was a sweatshirt and that was a coat. You know, all evil behavior, that was my coat. And then now I got the coat off and I got a sweater underneath it. Now I take the sweater of deceit off. But he uses some other words, and these might be more like the hat, the scarf, those kinds of things. So he uses the word hypocrisy. I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but hypocrisy is the whole idea of wearing a mask. Of saying this, but being this. That's exactly where this word comes from. You've heard me, if you've been around, you've heard me talk about this before. It comes right out of the theater world in Jesus' time. It's like, oh, it's the answering of the phone when you're mad. Hello? Can I help you? And everybody's like, what is going on here? And y'all chuckle because y'all been there, right? He says, take that mask off. You cannot live pretending. You got to take the mask of pretending off, and you got to put on reality. And then he goes on. Screen went dead here. He says, take off jealousy. So jealousy might be the hat of jealousy. I really like that hat, Matt. I'd like to have that hat. Jealousy, similar to envy, is the idea that I want what someone else has. And I don't like the fact that they got it. And he says, take that off. I mean, one of the characteristics of a follower of Jesus should be that when someone else is blessed, that you would absolutely rejoice with that other person. See, the world's way for thousands of years has been, when someone else gets something good, I'm mad about it because I didn't get it, or I'm jealous because I want it. I mean, when someone gets a new car, shouldn't you rejoice with them? You know, when someone gets a job promotion, even the job promotion that you wanted, shouldn't you be happy about that for them? Are y'all with me? That's the Jesus way. The American way may be to like, you know, like I should have got that. The Jesus way is that you would rejoice with that person. That you'd be, I mean, that something inside of you would rise up where you're excited for them and the opportunities and the possibilities. I want to go on a cruise. Well, it's okay that you want to go on a cruise, but rejoice the fact that they get to go on a cruise. Rejoice with them that they get to do whatever that happens to be. And then he uses another all. He says all, New Living Translation says all, unkind speech. Well, that is a big encompassing idea. He says, you got to, you know, again, you got the coat on, and then you got the sweater on, and then you got a vest on under it, you know, because you're like have a trouble staying warm. So you take that vest. That vest is the vest of unkind speech. He's saying there is no place for a follower of Jesus to use unkind speech. In any situation. That's what he's talking about here. That's the clothing that you got to take off. That's the clothing that a follower of Jesus can't wear. And some translations use the word slander. Some others would use the word backbiting or lying, putting others down, derogatory, undermining. It's the thing that someone says that makes you say, someone says about you or someone else, and it makes you say, why would you say that? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Like, why would you ever say that? We use those terms because we know they're words that shouldn't be spoken. And they're words especially that shouldn't be spoken by a follower of Jesus. Why would you ever say that to your child? Why would you ever say that to a coworker? Why would you say that about me? I can't believe those are the kinds of things that you're saying. He says, you got to take that off. That's the direction that the world goes in regards to their speech. And he says, you need to turn around, take that off, go the other direction. And if there's no room for all unkind speech, the only kind of speech you should have is what? Kind speech. You could discipline someone in kindness. A boss can call an employee in and say, you are not getting your job done. If something doesn't change, you will not continue to have a job here with us, but can do it in a kind way. Or the boss can just be unkind and treat an employee the way an employee should never be treated by a boss who is a follower of Jesus. Y'all with me? That's what he's talking about. He said, take that off. And then he says, so he gets done with all that. And he says, now this, and it'll be up on your screen, but he says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk that you will grow into full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have tasted of the Lord's kindness. So it's kind of like he's saying, now that you've taken off your old clothes and now you're putting on new clothes, let's talk about your diet. That's kind of what he's talking about. Now that you've done this, you know, you've done taking off the old clothes and you put on the new clothes, now let's talk about what you should really be craving as far as food's concerned. And so let's talk about, you know, what the nourishment you should be taking in. And he's making a direct reference to a passage of scripture in the book of Psalms from David, one of David's songs, Psalm 34. And he says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joy of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you godly his people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even, go ahead and go to the next slide. There should be another slide. There we go. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will never go hungry. That's what he says. It's a direct reference to Psalm 34. This whole idea that you should crave after this. And he actually says, now that you've tasted, you've taken off the old clothes, you put on the new clothes, and you've tasted that the Lord is good, crave pure spiritual milk. That is a term that was used by the Jewish people and by the New Testament believers who were mostly Jewish people in the initial part of it. That was a term that was used for the milk of the word. Crave the nourishment that you can get from the Word of God. So Apostle Paul says it this way, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as if you belonged to this world, as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And then he says in another place, he says, and if you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature, you are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other, doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living as like people of the world? In the book of Hebrews, it says this, you have been believers so long that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot have solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. So he uses the word pure spiritual milk, but he's talking about nourishment. You know, when a baby, you know, is born, and like yours, Rachel, wants milk. I mean, just wants milk. Like milk, 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 milk. I mean, the mom's in the room. It's like the mom's a milk wagon. You know, it's just like milk, 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 milk. You know, when Nathan was born, our oldest, when he was born, you know, first kid, I didn't remember anything about my mom's kids when I was total rookie to all of this. And but our doctor told us, he said he was a family doctor, he wasn't a pediatrician, but he's a family doctor. And he said, you know, this is a team thing. So when the baby starts crying in the middle of the night, Matt, you should get up and get the baby and take the baby to Barbara, and Barbara can nurse him. And, you know, and I'm going to school full time and I'm working full time. And I'm beat. I am so beat. And so I get up and I get Nathan and you know, I take him to Barbara, and I'm sitting there because I'm supposed to then take the baby back to the bed, you know, kind of thing. And I'm trying to stay awake. And one day it just struck me. It's like, if God is the creator, why didn't he make it so both men and women could nurse? Wouldn't that just been much more convenient? I mean, you know, he's still having to bring the baby to Nathan to Barbara to nurse. I just like, okay, just do the nursing thing, Nathan. And Mike, most women, or maybe all women, my wife leaked all the time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, ask an older woman in your life, okay? And I said, so why wouldn't God, I'm just talking about, I said, why wouldn't God have made it so men could nurse and women could nurse? And she said, this is the reason. She just had this wet spot on both sides of her shirt. She said, can you imagine going to work looking like that? Okay, point made. Point made. I mean, when babies, they just crave this milk. But as they get a little bit older, kids get and eat what they want to eat. And they will not eat. We had one of our five kids. It was one of our boys. He could throw up at the drop of a hat. And finally, we're like, okay, we're not force feeding that on him anymore because we don't want to see that. They eat what they want to eat. They just, you know, it's like, I don't want that. My mom... So I grew up with nine kids. Some of you have heard my mom-isms before. But my mom would say, with nine kids, she'd say, I am not a short order cook. You eat what's put in front of you. And then my mom would say, like, well, I don't like that. You know, and she'd say, well, none of my kids have starved overnight. You can wait till breakfast. I mean, that was my mom. She said, you just wait till breakfast. You either eat what's there or you can just wait till breakfast. You're not going to die between now and breakfast. And it's just, you know, the whole, and if we wanted dessert, my mom would say, you can have dessert if what? Which is a funny idea. You want some junk food, but in order to fill yourself with more food than you really need, you got to eat everything that's on your plate, which you didn't control what you put on your plate. You got to eat all that to have some sweets. Which is just a funny thing, you know. It's a funny American, I don't know, maybe it's worldwide, but it's a funny idea. It does work, sometimes. But spiritually, it's the same reality. People eat what they want to eat, and they don't eat what they don't want to eat, even though what they don't want to eat may be the very thing they need to eat. Now, don't ask me to say that again, okay? Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They'll no longer listen to sound and wholesome food. He says, instead, they will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and they will chase after made up stuff. I mean, Paul's saying, you know what? There's food you should be eating, and there's food that's made up stuff that you should not be eating spiritually. Eat the stuff that's not made up. That's what he's saying here. Eat the stuff that's not made up. Crave it, he says, crave it and cry out for it and chase after it, this pure milk. Why does he emphasize pure milk? If you don't get anything else today, I want you to get this truth here. And hopefully this is clear. It's my own thing. It's not artificial intelligence. Is there another slide? There we go. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to mature the child of God. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to mature the child of God. It's the only way it works. There is no other shortcake. I got food on my mind. There is no other shortcut. You can't take a pill to become spiritually mature. You can't become spiritually mature because there are spiritually mature around you, people around you. People spiritually mature because the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to mature the child of God. So again, if you don't leave with anything else today, leave with that idea. Leave with that idea. That's the reason. That's the reason you have to crave this. He says, crave it. And, you know, a person can have the Spirit of God, and yet if they don't have the Word of God going into them, the Spirit doesn't have everything to work with the Spirit needs to work with. Because if it could just happen by the Spirit of God, He would have never given us the Word of God. I mean, it's one of the amazing things, I was telling someone just this week, it's one of the amazing things that all of these writings from antiquity even survived to our day. The New Testament stuff and the Old Testament stuff. I mean, you think about all the stuff that was written, that there's nothing left of it. And yet we have, for all virtual purposes, we have the exact stuff that was originally written by these guys, for all practical purposes. If it was just by the Spirit, He wouldn't have given us the Word. But He gave us the Word because it's the Spirit and the Word. Now, you can have just the Word, and if you don't have the Spirit, you don't mature spiritually. You might become really smart. You might be, you know, like, okay, I know all that stuff. There's lots of people in this world that know the Word and know the Word better than I know it, better than you know it, but they have no spiritual life in them whatsoever. Because you got to have the Spirit and you got to have the Word. It takes them both. So He says, crave that. Crave the pure milk of the Word. And then the Spirit of God takes that and He puts the Word with it and He uses it, and then maturity happens in a person's life. If you want to continue to grow spiritually, you want to continue to mature, give the Spirit of God access to your heart and put the Word of God in you so that the Spirit of God can take the Word of God to mature you as a child of God. Amen? Let's stand together. I did it. Got through it. Lord, I think back to the Sermon on the Mount where You said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Lord, I'm praying that You would continue to pour into us and put in us and create in us a spiritual hunger. A hunger for truth. A hunger to continue to take off the old clothes when You reveal them to us and put on the new clothes. And as we're going through our closet and seeing something that was our old clothes that we wore, the old way we treated people, the old way we interacted with people, we'd get rid of those things. And then, Lord, You would help us to understand what it looks like to wear new clothes. And that we'd crave the work of the Word and the work of the Spirit in our lives. Jesus, accomplish what You're wanting to accomplish. Those of us in this room, those that have joined us online, those that will join us online, do Your work inside of us. Thank You, Jesus, for what You're going to do. We're trusting You. And you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's some folks from our leadership team that are going to be up here. Love to pray with you. There is goodies and coffee and water and all that stuff over there to spend some time just interacting with one another. Make sure you stop and see the missionaries out in the foyer. And pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks in Uganda teaching like 25 times. God bless you. Have a great day.